we say it every week. We hear about it in children's sermons once. Most adults do not remember when they memorized it. Do you remember when you memorized the Lord's Prayer? Children hear it so many times in their childhood that before long they know it by rote. And people visiting church for the first time wonder what this weird thing is that people all say together without any script. It's the Lord's Prayer. You can say it with me now. We're going to say it several times today. So, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A few years back, I asked a group of youth to express the Lord's Prayer in a way that they could understand it. And amazingly, they came up with something that was very similar to what Caleb came up with. It's amazing how youth and that camel think alike. Here's what they came up with. God, you are really, really great. You're in charge. Whatever you say, everywhere. Fill our needs. Forgive us while we forgive others. Keep us on your path. Help us when we're in trouble. You're great, and you rule forever. Amen. You know, I hear that, and I do love the freshness of the words. I like how it puts a new spin on a prayer that we've said so often. But, you know, I really don't want that version to exist at the expense of the one that I have said for years and years, the one that we just said before that. And in this morning scripture reading from Luke, Jesus starts by telling his disciples how to pray. Now, the version that's in there is a little bit different than the one that we say. We say one that is more complete, and it comes from the book of Matthew. But it's still, you saw the common elements in there. And, you know, I've heard it often said that our recitation of the Lord's Prayer does become meaningless and just kind of said without any thought when we simply repeat it without understanding it. There's actually a script floating around the internet, or maybe you've seen it on emails or someone mailed it to you, called the Interactive Lord's Prayer, where a person sits down to pray just to say the words. They don't have any kind of agenda in their mind, and all of a sudden God interrupts. You know, Our Father in heaven, yes? And God talks back, and it's a long script. You can look at it. I don't have it printed up here today, but if you go onto the internet, it's linked on the sermon on our website, or you can Google it, or what's another internet search you can use? Microsoft Network or one of those. It's called the Interactive Lord's Prayer. I think there's some merit to the idea that when we say the Lord's Prayer too often, it becomes empty and meaningless because we can just say it. But I also don't think that freshing up the language is absolutely necessary for the Lord's Prayer to have meaning. See, it's in our repetition of the Lord's Prayer that it becomes ingrained so deep in our minds that when there are no other words, when we are in really, really difficult times and we can't think what to pray, or something horrible is going on and we want to pray but we just can't think of what to say or what to do, there's just no words, the Lord's Prayer is there and we can say that. And there's a communication with God that's going on. It's just so deeply put into our mind. A friend of mine talked about being in a situation where he was being robbed and he was at gunpoint and he had actually been shot through the hand, and all he could think to do, he said, I wanted to pray, but I didn't know what to say. So he said, Our Father who art in heaven. And then he said, Now I lay me down to sleep. Every prayer that he'd ever memorized, he just kept saying over and over again. And he felt connected to God because he was praying, even though he didn't know what to say. When we recite the Lord's Prayer, maybe it does become sort of meaningless and empty at times. But there still is a connection to God. And I know that some of us say debts, and some say sins, and some say trespasses. Raise your hand if you got brought up in a trespass church. Raise your hand if you got brought up in a sins church. Ooh, no one. Raise your hand if you were brought up in a debts church. That would probably be everyone else. Raise your hand if you don't care what word it is. It's all kind of the same. There we go. You know, when we do the Lord's Prayer, if you want to say trespasses, you go right ahead. If you want to say sins, you go right ahead. God understands what's going on there, and if that brings more meaning to it for you, go right ahead. This week's reading, you know, doesn't have the whole version, and I said that it's from Matthew. It's actually Matthew 6, 9 through 13, where we find the complete version of the Lord's Prayer. And then that last part, where we say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." In some churches, it's, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever," or "forever and ever." And in some churches, they don't even say that part. But when we do, that comes from the Old Testament, from King David. You know who King David is? King David, good king, made a lot of mistakes, but, you know, a pretty good king. Well, in a prayer that he had blessing his son Solomon to be the next king, here's what he said in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 through 13. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come to you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hands to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." So our benediction to that prayer is taken from that thought and from some of the words that are in there. But that's where we get that part of the prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is worth reciting. It's worth repeating. It's worth memorizing. Y'all, raise your hand if you don't have it memorized. We'll just have a little memorizing bee this morning. No, it's an acknowledgement, and it reminds us of our relationship with God and that we are bound together as community when we do this together. When we say that all together, we are bound together as this Christian community where we do something together. And people who have never been to church before, I know it's a little bit difficult there. We ought to have a script that's written in there so that people can do that when they're here for the first time or have never been to church before. But it's something that the Christian community does together. Sometimes communities hold hands to do it. But we're reminded that we serve God together in that prayer. That's your Lord's Prayer lesson for the day. But there is more to this morning's reading. See, after teaching the disciples how to pray, religious leaders often taught their disciples to pray. He said, "Teach us as John taught us." It was very common for a leader to have a prayer that they would say. And can you imagine the disciples, though, saying in their minds after Jesus taught them to pray, we really just wanted to learn a prayer, Jesus. We didn't want a teachable moment. Could you just stop now? We're kind of done. Yeah. But Jesus taught them about persistence in prayer. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you." And that's an important line in Scripture. There have been songs written about it. You've heard it. But there's a little problem, not with the line, but there's a problem sometimes if we take that line, apart from Jesus' teaching about how to pray, "Your kingdom come," you might believe that just this line works. If you ask, you get it. That God is like this cosmic genie. "God, I need a new car." Boom. There it is. No. You might understand it like some movements that have gone on that I'm not going to say good or bad about them, but there's some drawbacks to ways of interpreting them. Like The Secret. You've heard of The Secret? It was on Oprah. So who watches Oprah? A few of you are willing to. Guys, how many of you have seen Oprah? Yeah, you've seen Oprah. But The Secret, and there's a DVD out there, but the basic part of The Secret is surround yourself with positive people and think positive thoughts, and things will always work out for you. It's a nice positive thought. Or Your Best Life Now from Pastor Joel Osteen in Texas. Believe that you will be blessed and you will gain wealth. And you will be blessed. How about Name It, Claim It theology? Heard of that? Name it, claim it. God wants you to prosper. Just claim that blessing and enjoy the rewards God has for you. Or the little book, The Prayer of, we don't know how to pronounce it. It's either Jabez or Jabez. Here's the prayer. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain." God granted Jabez what he requested, and according to the book, you can do the same. Pray that prayer, and God will continue to bless you. But on the other side of that, these are all positive images of prayer, but on the other side of that is the idea that things don't always go right, or if they don't always go right, then it's because we didn't pray enough, or didn't pray the right prayer, or didn't believe enough for God to do it. There's that blame the victim thing that goes on in there when it comes to lives that aren't turning out. And our lives don't always turn out positive. We're not always in the best of straits. And if we think maybe, but I didn't pray hard enough, God is not blessing me. I don't think that's the way it works. I'm going to say something that I think is really, really important. And I'm not sure what your feelings are on this, or if you'll be, you know, if you'll breathe a sigh of relief, or if you'll be highly offended by it. But listen to this. This is what I believe. God is not bound by our prayers. And God is not limited by our lack of them. Jesus taught before the ask, seek, and knock part. He said, your kingdom come. Like, God, you are in charge. We praise God and acknowledge God's sovereignty in our lives. And our requests grow from that. When you take these two parts of Scripture together, the prayer and then the ask, seek, and knock, we depend on God's grace. And God, who is always faithful, calls us to be faithful. And our requests, our petitions, our thanksgiving all grows from that. And we can always trust, even if we don't think we can trust, that God is present. Whether we notice it or even believe it, God is always transforming us. I'm going to say two things together now. God is not bound by our prayers, and God is not limited by our lack of them. Whether we notice it or even believe it, God is always transforming us. But then there's that bothering the friend at midnight part from the Scripture. Doesn't that teach that if we're persistent enough, we'll get what we ask for? So many people pray and ask God for things. Not everyone gets what they ask for, and we don't always get what we ask for. And, you know, we've had this way of describing that. Preachers describe it, Sunday school teachers describe it, and say God always answers prayers. There's either yes, no, or maybe. Who's ever heard that? Three ways that God answers prayers. But that's also a little bit like saying God doesn't answer prayers, because the answer will be yes, no, or maybe, whether you did anything or not. Things just happen good for some people and worse for others. So I want more than that. I want more than a yes, no, maybe answer. So let's look closer at that friend at midnight part. It's about asking for food for a visitor to a town, even though the other friend is fast asleep. In the time when these Gospels are being presented, in the time of Jesus, hospitality, another of Jesus' really big things, dictated that visitors must be cared for. The whole village would be embarrassed if a visitor came into town and they were mistreated, or if they were not cared for, if they were hungry. So this request of a friend took into account the needs of a whole village. You don't want the whole village to be embarrassed. You don't want the visitor to go hungry, not just one person. And when we pray, I think that's what Jesus is teaching us to move toward. Asking God to continue to do what is best for all, to do God's will. That's thy kingdom come, thy will be done from our Lord's Prayer. And if you don't say thy will be done, thy kingdom come almost covers that, or it does cover that. I want more than a yes, no, maybe. Our prayers grow out of our love for God and grow out of our desire and our knowledge and our belief that your kingdom come, your will be done, is how we're operating. And so our prayers, our requests, our petitions are granted because they grow out of that. God is not some cosmic genie. And students, you can't study it the night before a test or the morning of the test. God, let me do well in this test, even though I didn't study, because I think God's answer right there is you should have studied. God isn't answering prayers just because enough people pray. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray, because our prayer grows out of our relationship with God. It grows out of your kingdom come, your will be done. It grows out of God in heaven, hallowed be your name. God isn't answering prayers just because someone irritates God enough. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. And it doesn't mean we should be afraid to irritate God. If we have petitions, if we have things we need to say to God, if we're angry, whatever it is, God can take everything that we have. God can listen to everything we have. I believe God is listening all the time. Whether it's a request for something, whether it's a prayer of anguish, whether it's a prayer of joy, God is always listening. Every time we pray, no matter what we say, no matter what our mood, no matter what we ask for, God is listening. So these prayers that we say, the prayer of our Lord's prayer, and then prayers of thanksgiving and petition, prayers of contemplation, you know what those are? That's where you just sit there and you don't say anything. And you try not to think about anything either. You're just there acknowledging God's presence. And waiting. Maybe you'll hear something, maybe you won't. But you're just present with God. Prayers of contemplation, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of petition. They all grow out of our love for God. Or I hope that they grow out of our love for God. If we're doing it the way Jesus taught us. And Jesus taught us a very simple prayer. And it's okay to say the Lord's Prayer more than once or twice in a worship service. We're going to say it one more time now, and then we're going to say it again at the end of the pastoral prayer time. So that will be, let's see, we said it with the children's sermon, and we said it at the beginning of this, we'll say it now, and then that, so it'll be four times. That doesn't mean that you don't have to come to church for four Sundays, because you do. You got to come all four of those Sundays. It's okay to say the prayer more than once or twice in a worship service. So let's join together. Why don't we stand? What does that prayer say? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.